Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to this podcast, everybody. In today's segment, we will be talking with Mr. Michael Landau, the Vice President of Business Development at a leading cybersecurity firm known as Avanet. They're based out of New York City, New York. And Michael, thanks for your time, and let's get started. We looked up your bio online, and you seem to have a very rich and a very historical background in cybersecurity. Can you tell us more about the highlights of your career and how you got started in cybersecurity?
Absolutely, and thanks for the time today. Looking forward to the conversation. My start in cybersecurity actually started while I was in California working for NASA in their smart systems lab. This is the beginning of the dot-com boom, and was hired by a company that was doing a lot of work just in network performance. And of course, after you've got performance, security is the next thing you're concerned about. So starting in network physics, and then a company called Forescout, which at the time was a worm prevention company, soon became the leader of network access control, and spent probably about a dozen years there. They recently had a very successful IPO, so at least one win under my belt. And then a few years ago, the core group within Forescout got together, and we put together what we call Avanon.
Sounds interesting. Now, could you elaborate a little bit more on how you actually started Avanon?
Absolutely. I think actually it became kind of a natural transition point for us because by the time Forescout had become the leader for network access control, we had customers in all the largest banks and government organizations, and they loved the technology we had, but they were doing what everyone else is doing, and that's moving to the cloud. So in meeting after meeting, they asked, great, we love what you do. Can you provide security for all of our resources there? And instead of building another product within Forescout, kind of the core group there got together, spun off another company, and that's what we're doing today. It's a platform for cloud security. It's nice to work with the same team again.
Sure, it sounds excellent. Now, obviously, the name of your company must have some significance to it. Is there a deeper meaning behind it in terms of cybersecurity?
Of course. And so, like a lot of security companies, most of the R&D comes out of Israel. So Avanon is actually a combination of a couple of Hebrew words, Av meaning father, I guess a sense of protector, and a non-cloud. So protector of the cloud. We like a name because it's meaningful for those people that understand it, but also because it's a unique name. We can get the domain, and comes early in the alphabet.
Wow, that truly is a very unique name. That's very good. Thanks. Now, obviously, how long has Avanet been in business? I mean, have you been around for a long time, or are you a startup?
So we actually started in 2014. In fact, some of the team were working half-time at Avanon, half-time with Forescout. We finally got funding about halfway through 2014, and it's been growing ever since.
Does Avanon have a presence in other countries as well? You had mentioned Israel. Do you have an office there also?
Absolutely. And so because we are a cloud-based company, everything is based in the cloud. We have customers and we have a presence pretty much everywhere. We have just completed our GDPR compliance projects so that not only do we have customers all over the world, we have not only met our own GDPR requirements, but we're helping our customers meet theirs.
Okay. Who's your typical customer that you're trying to target? Are they the small to medium-sized business? Are they the large companies like the Fortune 500? Or is it kind of a combination of both?
I'd say it's a combination of both. We do have quite a few medium-sized customers, you know, just a few thousand users. But I'd say greatest growth is from large enterprise, because when people move to the cloud, the requirements, their regulatory compliance concerns go with them. So a lot of organizations use us to maintain HIPAA compliance or PCI compliance. And so the reason why we're so successful in the large enterprise is because they really don't have any other choice when it comes to moving to the cloud. They need the levels of security that we offer in order to meet those policy requirements.
Okay. How large is Avnan, both from a revenue, if you can share that, and employee standpoint wise?
So we're still privately held, so we don't share revenue information, but we've been growing very quickly, and can tell you that in the cloud security industry, we are the fastest growing by pretty much any measure. So we are around the world. I think we have about 60 employees scattered between R&D, marketing, and sales. But we just did another round of hiring, so that number will probably change by quite a bit just in the next few weeks.
That's a pretty good employee size, 60. Now, let's get into your product service line. This will be probably the main thrust of this podcast here. It looks like that you have distinct service lines in business security, file sharing, infrastructure as a service, other security, everything ranging from Office 365 to G Suite to Google Drive to OneDrive to anti-phishing to ransomware, data leakage, and shadow IT management. Can you expand or elaborate on each of these services, please?
Absolutely. So we sell ourselves as a cloud security platform, and this is both a blessing and a curse when it comes to selling the product, but we really pride ourselves on being a complete solution for security in the cloud. It's a curse because we actually overlap multiple industries. So we are a so-called CASB, a cloud access security broker, doing all the things that people purchase a CASB for. So shadow IT detection, identifying cloud services that the IT team may not know about. When it comes to data leakage prevention, malware prevention, we do all the things that those companies might offer for the cloud. We also compete in the mail security space. So while you might have a third-party tool to provide additional security for, let's say, Office 365 or for Gmail, we actually offer a more complete solution beyond what your traditional email gateways provide. So we compete in that market, in the compliance industry, the cloud orchestration industry. So we, from a sales perspective, we're competing against quite a few companies, but as a platform, we actually have more partners than we do competitors, and I think that's the real value. Describe our product is a platform, but some people have called it an app store for security in the cloud. And the reason we say that is because we have partnered with every major security vendor, brand names that people are not only have heard of, but probably already know, are using and already trust, so that when you come to us for security in the cloud, let's say you want to add malware sandboxing, the ability to scan every email or scan every file that's uploaded or downloaded or shared via some sort of cloud-based chat. If you want to scan those for zero-day malware, right now you actually have no solution using any other cloud security product. In Office 365, they do offer some sort of sandboxing tool, but we partnered with all the major brand names from FireEye to Checkpoint to Lastline so that we can provide that additional layer of security that I'm sure you're probably already using in your own data center, but we can provide it across all your cloud services. And so with these partnerships, we can honestly say that in every category of security for whatever cloud you might be using, we do have the industry's best. Now, depending on your opinion on who's the industry's best, it might change from one vendor to another, but because we have all those vendors, we have your choice. We do have what you consider to be the best in that category.
Okay. Can you expand a little bit more on what shadow IT management is? I think I've heard of it, and I think maybe some other people in the audience have heard. What exactly is it?
Well, that's a great question. In fact, there's the traditional definition of shadow IT that everyone's familiar with in the cloud access security brokerage industry, and that is SaaS or cloud usage that IT doesn't know about. Now, that could be as simple as I'm sitting at my desktop in my company, and the company is using Amazon or they're using OneDrive for file sharing, but I decide, you know what, I like Dropbox. That makes it a lot easier. So I'm going to start using Dropbox for all my work. And it's actually very common for, let's say, the marketing department or the sales department to just swipe a credit card and start using an unapproved SaaS app for whatever purpose, to get things done, and probably with no ill intent. But the concern is that IT doesn't know about it, and it's very possible that that could be a security threat because I might share documents on my Dropbox on an open share that might contain personal information or credit cards or HIPAA, medical data. So the fact that IT doesn't know about it makes it shadow, makes it unknown IT. So that's the common definition. And of course, we provide protections against that kind of shadow IT. How the definition has changed is something that the CASB industry is still slow to catch up on, but we found is one of our greatest features from a customer RAM perspective, and that is unknown SaaS, you're not using from your desktop, but you're using in the cloud. And that is, let's say I have my email in Office 365 or Gmail, and then LinkedIn says, hey, can I share all of your contacts? And you just click a button, and suddenly you're sharing all your contacts with LinkedIn. That's cloud-to-cloud shadow IT, or we call it shadow SaaS. And instead of a connection from your desktop to a cloud, it's cloud-to-cloud, which is even more invisible to your IT team. And while the idea of sharing your contacts with LinkedIn might be a perfectly legitimate use of cloud-to-cloud unknown SaaS usage, it's also possible that you might be sharing all of your documents with a SaaS provider that is unapproved by your IT department, and that's another threat.
Okay. What kinds of customers have used your products and services?
There's really no category that's greater than any other. We had a lot of very early traction with financial firms and healthcare firms, primarily because they were just so desperate for compliance controls within the cloud. But we have retail, manufacturing, government, there's large and small, a few hundred users, a few thousand users, tens of thousands of users. Some of the largest cities in the country are using our product. So the range is quite wide, and also the usage is quite different from one to another. So we might have a financial firm that is maintaining SEC compliance within their Box account, adding layers of controls that allow them to be compliant above and beyond the controls that Box alone provides. Or we might have a government county that gets a lot of phishing attacks, and they need greater protection than is offered by Office 365, even greater protection than is offered by the mail gateway provider that they're already using. So we provide capabilities above and beyond, and the range is quite wide. What's nice is, as a company, and I told you before that kind of the curse of having a complete cloud security platform is that we're competing in so many different markets. But typically people come to us to solve one problem, and once we put out that fire, we can go further and solve other security issues they might have in the cloud.
That sounds excellent. Could you further elaborate more on the Avanade technology platform? I know you alluded to that before, but can you expand on that just a little bit more?
Absolutely. So, again, we describe ourselves as a platform. And roughly speaking, what that means is that, one, we're entirely cloud-based. So there is no appliance, there's no software, there's no nothing to install in a data center. Everything is done in the cloud. Two, there's no redirection of traffic. So there are a lot of cloud services out there, like email gateways or the Cloud Access Security Broker, CASB, that are redirecting traffic, so acting as a proxy. So you're putting all your mail through a service or putting all of your web browsing through a service. We don't do that. We're a platform in that we connect directly to your cloud services via API. So we are tightly embedded within Office 365, tightly embedded within Amazon, tightly embedded within whatever cloud service you're using. And one way to think of it is we deploy almost like an app. So you go to the Google App Store and you deploy some sort of tool, click OK, and suddenly we are a security bundle operating within your cloud. So that's the first part, is that we are completely transparent to the user. Everything is on the cloud, all via API, so it's completely out of band. Secondly, we have partnered with pretty much every major security provider, from antivirus to malware sandboxing to encryption to anti-phishing to file standardization. So that allows us to take their code, spin up their service in a cloud-based container, and deploy it without you needing to do anything. We handle all of the deployment, scaling, licensing, so that it's completely invisible to our customers, but you get the industry's best antivirus, industry's best sandboxing, industry's best encryption deployed in the cloud, transparent to you, transparent to the users, so that we actually provide cloud-based versions of products from companies that don't even offer it themselves. We are the way they provide their software in the cloud. So we're not only a platform for our customers, we're a platform for our security providers to be able to offer their technology in the cloud.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that sounds good. Now, do you have any customer success stories that you can share with us on any of your products and solutions? Maybe with an emphasis on ransomware and shadow IT, because I know that ransomware is like the latest threat that's out there. You know, we keep hearing about the news, you know, like WannaCry. Can you tell us more about any of the case studies you can talk about?
Absolutely, and I think I can describe one case, one example, but it's actually quite common, so it applies to quite a number of our customers, in that when in the case of ransomware, in the case of phishing, that is an urgent problem that needs to be solved immediately. So typically customers come to us and their hair's on fire. They need to get the problem solved. So one benefit we have is that we deploy immediately. You give us a call and we can be deployed within your Office 365 or your Gmail within minutes. So one, we can stop whatever's happening immediately. It's very typical for us to enter or connect to a network that has already been breached. So there's a a large city within the United States, one of the larger cities that use our product. They came to us after they'd had a breach. One benefit of the way we connect directly to Office 365 is that not only do we have access to every single email as they come in before it hits the user's inbox, we have access to every email back in time so that we can identify, we can go through and actually search your current inbox and outbox for malicious files, even though we've just connected. And in this case, we went back in time and actually were able to identify the first instance. And it was actually an account that had been closed, so actually hadn't received any more email for a month or so. But it was a consultant that was granted a temporary account in order to solve, you know, to do whatever job they needed to do, and that account had been closed. So there we're able to identify the first instance. It was a Trojan. He double-clicked on it. So one benefit of that was, first, we could find the first instance. And then, secondly, we could undo a lot of the damage because he had sent emails internally throughout the organization. One drawback of external email gateways is that they really only see the incoming email. They completely miss internal email, which is why it was missed in the first place, because the attack, it was an internal attack, was a fairly basic attack, but it was completely invisible to that external gateway. Obviously, we're able to identify very quickly sitting in people's inboxes. Because we have that control connected directly to Microsoft's infrastructure, literally within minutes, we could pull out all of that, all those emails, all those historical emails, in a way that pretty much instantaneous. So it gave the IT team greater control over their users' inboxes than they actually could get from Microsoft itself. Then, of course, ongoing, we continued to monitor their email. And even because they had that external gateway from another provider, it was very easy for them to see the inbound email that was continuing to get through those filters, the inbound phishing attacks that we were able to detect, because the way we deploy, we are behind that external gateway. We're actually behind Microsoft's own filters so that we can actually see those things that the other products miss before it gets to the user's inbox. So it was quite clear that we could provide protections that the other systems couldn't. So that's an experience that is actually quite common for us. It allows us to deliver results very, very quickly, and is usually the reason why people buy us first, and then they start looking at some of the other capabilities we have.
Sounds excellent. Now, obviously, there are a lot of cybersecurity vendors out there here in this country and all over the world. What are the one or two things that separates Avnan from the rest of the crowd?
I think we're the first security company that doesn't believe in competition. We believe that the security industry should not be fighting one another to solve this problem, because no one company can be the best at all things, period. I've been in the security industry long enough to know that from time to time, there's always a company that says, we are your one-stop shop for security. You know, everyone wants to be that unified threat manager so that one box, it solves all things in the data center. But even if you're good at one thing, you can't be good at everything. So when we came to market, we decided it's best not invented here. Why should we try to reinvent data leak prevention or encryption or malware scanning? Because even if we were the smartest people on the planet, there's no way we could be the best at all those things. So we have partnered and taken the best from the best in the industry and made them work together. An example of that is the ability to use your choice of data classification. So if you are using Symantec or McAfee or something to identify confidential information within your cloud environments, great. We can provide you exactly the same technology that you're probably already using in the desktop or probably already using in your data center. However, you may decide that if you're using, let's say, Symantec across your network, you may choose to use another encryption protocol. Well, we make them work together so that you can use your choice of data classification with your choice of encryption, with your choice of other security tools, so that, one, you can choose the best, and then as your needs change, as the threats change, you can adopt new technology over time. It's essentially future-proof. You're not locked in to one organization or another.
Okay. Do you offer any free trials or free risk assessments for your customers after, you know, before they sign up with your services and even after the fact also?
Absolutely. In fact, I think one of the best ways to learn about what we do is to just turn it on. Because we're not a proxy, we don't need to reroute traffic. Because we're not a gateway, we don't need to change MX records. Because we deploy just like an app within the Google Store, for example, it just takes a couple of minutes, and it's completely invisible to all of your users. So not even a blip, no performance change whatsoever. So that literally in the first few minutes, we can start identifying threats you might have or tell you things about your environment that you may not already know. You can actually try out different tools. So you may not already know which is the best sandboxing environment, or you may not have already decided which data classification tool is best for HIPAA or the best for PCI. But you can actually turn those tools on side by side and do a bake-off comparison. And we offer a 14-day free trial to everyone. And that trial not only lets you see what our product does, but it's a very, very fast way to learn about your own cloud environment and most likely learn things that you probably didn't already know.
Okay. Do you have a partner program?
Yeah, so we sell through a variety of different resellers and distributors. We also have some managed security service providers that are reselling our product as a service. So they manage everything and resell it to their end customers, most likely as a large package, so that if they are already managing a company's desktops and already managing another's data center, we are the tool they use to manage the cloud. So, yes, absolutely. We have a number of different sales channels, as well as just direct sales through our website. We actually, for a lot of customers, they just go to our website, request a trial, and they may never even speak to a salesperson. They try it out for a little while. They love it, and they start the product almost immediately, which is exactly kind of what they expect because they're using the cloud. That's the way you deploy pretty much any cloud service. So our security as a service deploys in exactly the same way.
How dependent are you upon your value-add resellers? Do a bulk of your sales come from that, or?
Well, it's interesting because people that use the cloud have an expectation when it comes to purchasing other cloud products, including cloud security. So I would say most of our sales come just from people coming directly to our website and deciding on their own. Typically, if we have sales through a strategic partner or a VAR, it's because the customer has turned to them and said, I need to solve this problem. Please help me. And then the VAR or the strategic partner has sought us out in order to bring us to the customer. So in that case, they sought us out rather than kind of the traditional reseller being pushing a product on a customer.
Sounds excellent. Now let's segue over to the overall cybersecurity threat landscape. We keep hearing about state threat actors like North Korea, China, and Russia, you know, meddling into elections. What are your thoughts into that?
So it's been going on for a while, essentially, a cyber cold war. It's all the major technology players, including the United States, are using cyber tools in order to for all the reasons that that spies use technology. And so when it comes to, for example, the recent discovery just in the last day or two that was reported was China actually embedding tiny chips into every motherboard going to particular customers, completely invisible, independent of the software that's running on the motherboard, very, very sophisticated, requiring hundreds of millions of dollars, many, many people, and a supply chain going back multiple generations. So a very, very sophisticated hardware attack, which we were actually very surprised to see. Probably the more typical are the espionage attacks that are coming from, we know, coming from Russia, the fancy bear attacks that came to, the Democratic Party back in the last election, but we're still seeing now. And recently, the NSA essentially lost a number of tools that they were using against our enemies. But because they were made public, they're now in the hands of pretty much anyone that would like to use them. So those weapons that we were deploying are now being deployed against not only our government, but also private organizations. So the tools are becoming very, very sophisticated. So we as an industry have become very, very sophisticated in response.
Sounds good. Now, what are your general plans for expansion? Do you plan to offer any new products or services or enter new markets or kind of a mixture of both?
So one of my roles here at Avanon is looking for next generation technology. And because the threat continually changes, the requirements to defend against those threats are constantly changing. So it used to be that you just needed an antivirus to protect against threats. Now, we all know that you might have an antivirus on your desktop, but you don't count on it to stop the latest zero-day threat. So, in the last 5 years, a zero-day sandboxing appliance became the bare minimum to defend against, the advanced threat actors, the zero-day attacks. But even those are now being bypassed by more advanced attacks. So we're now moving into using AI and other active analysis tools to defend against types of attacks. So we seek out technology not only from the big players, but small startups that are introducing new techniques and new technologies that are actually making a difference. And our thought is that if it can make a difference, we want every one of our customers to have access to it. So we've been working with them to put those capabilities on our own platform.
Okay. Now, obviously, the cyber threat landscape's changing every day. I mean, to me as a writer, I keep seeing, different variants coming out almost every day when I read the news headlines. How does Avanon keep up with all of this?
So fortunately, we're not alone in having to keep up with it. So in a typical customer, we actually might have a half a dozen different technologies deployed from as many different vendors. So one vendor might have, in a single email, for example, might identify a piece of zero-day malware. Another vendor might identify a malicious URL. Another vendor can read the language through a natural language processor and identify a spear phishing attack or attack against an executive that would normally be invisible. So like it goes back to our philosophy that no one company can be the best at all things. We are deploying the technology and the weight of research from literally billions of dollars worth of research across the entire industry to solve the problem. And it is asymmetric warfare in that the bad guys can download a very cheap piece of malware from the latest NSA breach and deploy it against a company or a pension fund or your grandmother. We, in response, need to combine forces from so many different vendors in order to defend against them.
Okay. How do you foresee the cyber threat landscape changing, evolving in years?
I really think that we are accelerating when it comes to the threats that we're seeing and decreasing amount of time necessary to respond against those threats. So we're seeing the bad guys deploy artificial intelligence even faster than the security industry. We are seeing attacks against the latest technology. So we've seen all the Bitcoin and other digital currency attacks because new technologies offer new vulnerabilities, and the attackers are usually the first to identify those if there's a profit to be made. So even if the advance in technology would stop, no new cell phones, no new iPhones, no new desktop OSs, no new technology products, no new Internet of Things devices, it would take the security industry, the development industry, years to close every vulnerability. But of course, those things are not going to stop. And so the attackers will have an ever increasing attack surface. And we in the security industry, it's really kind of all hands on deck response to defend what's important.
Okay. Now, based from your experience and knowledge, what is the one cyber threat that you think will be the biggest one out there? Ransomware, crypto mining, what do you think will be the biggest one in the coming couple of years?
So we have the Chinese hardware attack is a good example in which for literally years, their supply chain had been embedding invisible hardware, literally inside the layers of the circuit boards. And they had been sitting there for years until they were discovered literally by X-ray. So it's very possible that the same is true when it comes to software. There are millions of Internet of Things devices that we may or may not know be under the control of somebody untoward. The unknown threat is the one that scares us the most. And what we have found, especially in the last 10 years, is that the bad guys are no longer about making noise. You remember worm attacks that would shut down entire networks. Now the threats do everything they can to be invisible. So the next major attack will come from what we normally thought were benign devices. And it may already be in place. All we can do as an industry and all we can do as a as users of this technology is best practices. And that is not closing up the easy gaps so that if a bad thing happens, that we are less likely to be the victim of that bad thing because we've done our due diligence, we've prepared.
Okay. Now, finally, as we close up the show here, what do you recommend for people in general to protect themselves from cyber attacks? Well, it sounds like, you know, you kind of have a general customer base. What do you tell them? What can you tell the average Joe out there? Oh, hey, how do you protect your smartphone? How do you protect your workstation? How do you prevent from being a victim of a cyber attack?
So I think it's a long time ago, 10 years ago, we declared the end of the perimeter. There's no such thing as a perimeter to your network. There's no inside or outside. And the philosophy there was is that there's no, quote, trusted versus untrusted portion of your network. And today, it's kind of an extension of that, is that you must assume that at least one device in your environment has been compromised. Now, it may sound like, oh no, it may sound paranoid, but what that does is change your mindset. And that is, okay, let's assume that there is already a compromised device. This now allows us to take additional protections to defend against that compromised device so that we have multiple layers of defense. So even if a bad thing does happen, you've got those layers of defense already there. And it's kind of in the same way you're preparing for an earthquake or you're preparing for a fire. It may never happen, but if you ask yourself, what would we do that day? What would we do that day if there were a fire, if there were an earthquake? Do we have backups in place? Do we have ways to quarantine behavior? Great. When that bad day comes, we are ready. And making that one assumption, assuming that at least one device in your environment is compromised or one account in your cloud is compromised, that mindset will prepare you and you'll make all the right decisions.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for your time. I really enjoyed the show. And we look forward to hopefully speaking with you again here in the near future.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.